The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning, everyone. It's a Saturday, of course, March the 23rd, 2024. I'm Peter Boyles, on the air everywhere. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather. It's beauty. I rode my motorcycle in Saturday. 67 will be the high. Tomorrow, Sunday, it all goes away. 48, 37 on Monday. Tuesday, 45 degrees. We really have a packed house, but I had an experience last week that I haven't gotten over. Patrice took me to Kearney, Nebraska, to see the sandhill crane migration, and it was stunning. And when I got back, I picked up the phone and I called the minnows. You guys remember the Wild Birds Unlimited? It was the best radio show in the city, and Dave and Scott did the show. And for a number of reasons, I've invited them to come on the show this morning. So let us first say to Dave and Scott Minnow, hey man, good morning and thanks for doing the radio show and welcome home.
Yeah, good morning, Peter.
Good. It is so good to have you guys back on the air. For the folks that don't know, Scott, you take the lead on this one. A history of the show that you guys did and for how many years you did it.
Oh, my. When we decided to move out of our previous careers and start a store that specialized in backyard bird feeding, we thought one of the great ways to share our enjoyment of nature and bird feeding was to do a radio show. So first we started partnering with folks like John and Jerry Creddy and others and doing little segments within their shows that we often call Bird Talk Light. And then we decided we ought to do our own show. So for 32 years, David and I had been on the radio, and we started up with a variety of stations, but KNUS became our home. So we decided we would do kind of a back and forth at the dinner table thing that we used to do as kids, but, you know, a little sibling rivalry, which we also had within our stores. But David and I just, it was so much easier just bouncing things off each other on the radio and working with, meeting interesting folks. I mean, I know you do it, but interviewing interesting folks like, Sir David Attenborough and different birding authors and bird feeding authors. So that's been exciting and interesting. We hopped around a lot of stations, but for the last, gosh, it was 15 years, I think, we were with KNUS.
Yeah. And then I believe you guys sold the stores and went into semi-retirement.
Yeah, we did.
We actually sold to Dean and Tina Seifert, just a wonderful family. Them and their daughter and their son are all running the stores, Arvada and Denver, and then they've got Highlands Ranch and Aurora. So they've expanded the operation, and we're still working with them a little bit. We did some consulting last week on a new bird feeder, birdhouse, and hummingbird feeder that he's coming out with that have cameras built in.
Wow.
So you can have your hummingbird feeder out there, and you can watch the hummingbirds live while they're on the feeder. Now, that one's not in production yet, but it's getting there. That I've got the bird feeder camera in my backyard. It's called Bird Reel, and it's so nice. I mean, you can just sit in your living room and watch the birds on your phone.
The minnows are here.
So cool.
Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS. We're going to talk about woodpeckers again because, once again, we are plagued by woodpeckers. But the going to see the cranes, and it just opened up so many doors. David and I had a long phone conversation, almost a philosophical part of this, where these birds, and it's driven me back to the books. We were talking, Dave, about how many years it's been guesstimated that these cranes – And they go as far north as Siberia, which is, I mean, you got to try and grasp that. But I turn it over to you, if you would.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say I haven't been able to see the spectacle that you have yet. I haven't made it out there. I saw it down in Monte Vista, but I was on the tail end of it. But a half a million of these birds go through that 75-mile stretch of the Platte River out there in Kearney, Nebraska area. And as you say, they trace these birds back 2.5 million years, which means they were around when the dinosaurs were around, which is amazing. And you're right. They winter down in Mexico and New Mexico and southern U.S. And then they head all the way up into Canada and Alaska and even into Siberia. They're breeding. Yeah.
And there are some, pronounce the name for the people, the study of these birds. Is it ornithology?
Ornithology.
Okay. And there are people guessing past 2.5 million and saying they had found remnants and fossil evidence of nests that go back even greater. These guys, again, from my reading, and I have the experts with me, these guys really do, are they as close to what happened to dinosaurs? Dave or Scott, whichever one of you guys wants to take a shot at that, how does that hold up?
They're finding more and more proof of the fact. And, you know, they're from bone structures to fossils that they found of dinosaurs that have feathers. They started developing feathers on these dinosaurs before they could even fly. Actually, I used to have, and I have it at home now, but a reproduction of the Berlin fossil of an Archaeopteryx. And it's a dinosaur that has, if you look at its bill, you can see little teeth in it, but it has wings. It has claw-like feet, more like a dinosaur, but it has wings that have feathers on it. And this is one of the transition animals from dinosaurs to flying birds.
And clearly, you know, the asteroid hits, and I mean, I've been reading as much as I can about this, because to watch those cranes, and for the folks who have done it, you get the sense of this, that they're, and I've mentioned this, and I've been struggling with some things philosophically. And I called Dave when I came home, and we had there's a spirituality to this. Now, remember who's saying this, but there is. And then I started reading about other things that migrate. And let's go back to the cranes. Dave, Scott, how do they know when to leave and where to go?
Well, migration is based primarily on day lengths. And as the sun shines either for longer or shorter periods of the day, it stimulates activity in the pineal gland in the brain, and it says, time to go. It's also influenced by food availability, but primarily it's day length. And then as far as knowing how and where to go, it's kind of an organized chaos. They do the same things over and over again as a group, and what seems to work is what lasts. But they migrate by using the stars at night, the Earth's gravitational and magnetic field, the subsonic sounds on both sides of the continent. They can hear the subsonics of the waves on both sides of the continent, and that steers them as well.
They can actually hear that. They can hear that.
Yeah, it's either hearing it or feeling the subsonics. But yeah, that is one of their guide points. And they also guide by looking at geographical markers, land markers. Like we have a wonderful migration pattern just west of Denver here. That hogback is a big visual aid to migration that runs up and down the Front Range here. So it's a pretty complex, organized chaos.
That's precisely what it is. And when you can't see them, we're first in the car, and then you see the first one, and they're brown, so they're in the fields and they're eating, and they eat all day. They're trying to put weight on to get ready to make this flight to Siberia or northern Canada or northern Alaska, and so they're like tuning up, and then you realize that the field is nothing but these birds. And they're all walking along. Yeah.
Just for folks who don't know, for your listeners, they're a bird that's about 3 to 4 feet tall. They weigh about anywhere from 6 to 12 pounds, and they have a wingspan of about 7 feet.
Yeah.
Which is, and they're very strong flyers. They can fly 400 miles a day. Whew. Easily. I don't know if it's easy, but they're doing it. And most migration takes place at night, because it's just more energy efficient to go when things are cooler, typically.
And they seem to be of one mind. Now, pardon me for saying that. When they fly, they all fly. And then they go down on the river, and they nest. And then in the morning, they go back to work. And they seem to – I say there's a zen to this, but there's a relationship between all of them. There's a one mind, and am I out of line by thinking that there's a subconsciousness or a something that keeps these birds together?
Boy, I don't know. You know, it could be a collective consciousness that they share. We see it in honeybees. We see it in, and when I watch starlings fly in these massive groups that you see, they do move as one unit.
Yeah.
And you wonder if there isn't, I don't know that any studies have been done to prove it yet, but it appears that there is that collective consciousness. And then when you watch them in the field and one starts dancing, and they're great dancers, they hop up and down, they flap their wings, they bob, then pretty soon they all start dancing together. And I just wonder, I wonder if it's not some sort of a collective consciousness, but Scott and I had the pleasure of viewing about 2.5 million bats down in San Antonio, which had a very similar feeling. It felt like a metaphysical experience.
Yeah.
This grand and endeavor of nature is just amazing.
Yeah, no, that's really well said. Much better than I could say it. But you come away with it with a and again, you use the word metaphysical, but you just come away with a new spirituality about life. And these birds have been doing this for minimum of 2.5 million. And some people I read said as high as 10 million. And they've been doing this. And as I said to a good friend, I said, they don't give a damn about Joe Biden or Donald Trump.
That's right.
Unless somebody dams up the Platte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and they eat at night, and they eat all day, and they're gaining weight, and they come in waves, which I thought was interesting. So at this, I think there's another 10 days of maybe 2 weeks of these cranes, and then they leave. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say, then it got me reading about migration, you know, about what whales do, and it's stunning how many things really do migrate. And then one guy I was reading said they believe the dinosaurs actually migrated.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you know, I think migration of the sandhills is greatly aided by man. Groups like the Nature Conservancy, which is a very good conservation group. If you're looking for somebody to support, stay away from the Sierra Club and stay away from all these political lobbyists and go to groups that actually do something, like the Nature Conservancy. They improve that habitat throughout the Platte there to keep it. And they work with all the landowners in the area to open up about 100,000 acres over there for these birds. which is great. But then again, human interference also screws up migration, like when we put in wind turbines offshore, or we put them, these massive wind farms that just they turn into bird Cuisinarts. They just chop them up on their migration paths. And so we can either improve the planet, or we can pretend to improve the planet and then screw it up like that.
Dave and Scott Menow are with us. I'm such a fan, and they've been longtime friends. And, of course, they did the Wild Birds Unlimited show here on 710 KNUS. I was lucky. And I've read about it and heard about it, but I've never seen it. The Sandhill Crane, the capital of the world, Kearney, Nebraska. And I was taken to see the cranes. And you can't explain it, I guess, to somebody that hasn't seen it. And then that rolled me into which one of you guys was telling me about seeing the macaws? David, was it you?
Yeah. Could, Scott and I both
could have been either of us, yeah.
Yeah, we both were down in Costa Rica and saw this marvelous flock of 100 or so of the scarlet macaws flying. And we were in a position where we were up on a hill above them. So they were flying through this valley below us. And again, just so breathtaking. And so what a wonder to see something like that. It almost helps you figure out where your place in nature is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was, you know, that line from the song Dust in the Wind, but for this millennial bird, this crane that comes from dinosaurs, and for somewhere between 2.5 million and one guy had them as high as 10, they've been making that flight. And they've been going to Siberia, and they've been on the Platte River, and they've been back. Some of the people that I read suggest that they go as far south oftentimes as Guatemala. I don't think then that's a flight.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So so many things, and when Dave and I were speaking, there's something about this migration. I've read about what takes place in Africa when the rains come, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's what do you come away with? I'll begin with Scott. Scott, what lessons are in this?
Well, I think the power of wanting to survive, the power of wanting to raise children, essentially, because bird migration is not only for food availability, but also primarily for nesting. So flying to a place where they can be safe and they can nest, and for birds that need to spread out, they've got more room up in North America to spread out and find nesting sites and be able to raise their young. And that is powerful to want to pass on your genes, to raise your children. And a lot of human migration is based on that idea, too. Not only food, which may be you're migrating because you're looking for a job or you're looking for better hunting grounds, but also to raise a family and find a place that's safe to be able to do that. And birds are doing that. And it is fascinating to me that some birds migrate and some birds don't. Some birds just hang out in a tropical rainforest and spend their entire lives there. Of course, the birds that hang out there tend to have much louder voices, much more involved sounds that they make, and much more beautiful plumage for males to be able to show off in a dense jungle to be able to attract the female. They also do little dances. There's birds that'll build little altars with special colored items that they find. And, you know, they can be items that people have left behind. Now, one bird will even lay out colored items that match the color of its eyes. they must have mirrors down there. But to think that those birds don't migrate, but sandhill cranes, our robins migrate, you know, and the hummingbirds are going to be coming back. So they migrate. And it's just remarkable. You know, insect-eating birds, ones that fly and catch insects out of the air, you realize why they just have to migrate. They have to leave Colorado, at least. But they come back in order to raise families, not because there's more insects here, because I'm sure there's many more insects from where they spend their winter. But they do have to leave because of the food source.
The drive to replicate themselves is so powerful that they're willing, you know, and it's not a willingness, I think, that they're probably unable to shake it. They're just going to make this migration. They're going to replicate generations of other sandhill. Is that fair?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The drive usually is hormonal, like it is to migrate, as David was talking about, the stimulation of the pineal gland. It stimulates migration, but it's the testosterone that stimulates males to want to breed and attract females, and estrogen in the females that make them want to say, okay, not that guy, but this guy.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, Scott and I have always paired well because Scott is a biologist. So he views everything from a biological standpoint, which is not everything, but I mean, he's got that strength. Whereas my background is in education and psychology. So I tend to look at their familial structure. I look at how the male and the female are together for life.
Yes.
Or until one mate dies, then they'll select another mate. But both stay together. They both tend the nest. They both brood the chicks. They both make sure the chicks get to maturity or at least get to independence at about 10 months of age.
Yeah.
So they do have a strong family unit. And I think that goes on. It goes a little bit on past just hormonal influence, I think. I think there's a higher order thinking there.
Yeah, that's the whole, and again, Jungian subconscious that Carl Jung wrote about. He was a student of Freud's or a colleague of Freud's, but the Jungian concept. And I've been running this in my head since I had this experience. What did I just see? And they're on the road. And they're stopping, and they stop in the same place every year. You know, I was reading, and the minnows are here. And just wonderful friends, Dave and Scott, of course, had Wild Birds Unlimited. And I was taken to Kearney, Nebraska to see the crane. They call it the crane watch in Kearney. But to see the migration. And, you know, and so I'm reading this thing about the sea turtles, the great big ones that go out to sea and come back and lay their eggs. That this one fellow I read said that they lay their eggs within 5 feet of where they hatched.
Huh. Isn't that amazing?
How would you know how to come back?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
I mean, even our little dipper, the water ouzel, the American dipper that lives in our Colorado streams, never strays more than 20 yards from the stream where they were born. And that's where that's their territory. That's what they do.
Again, it goes back into this, the watching the cranes. There's something that they know. The whales, reading about whales, and whales, you know, whales will travel the length of the earth. And they do it often. And some whales don't.
It depends on their job description.
Yes. They doing mornings? I mean, what are they doing? Afternoons, middays?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a shift.
They also, you know, animals' brains will change size. They'll get longer, which can help to maybe that is part of their mapping situation. Mm-hmm. They don't need a Neuralink chip in the brain. But they've got they can increase the size of their brain while they're migrating to figure out where they went before and maybe to pick up those those sonic vibrations and things like that. They also can change physiologically in other ways. There is the it's a godwit that will eat like crazy before it migrates, and then it essentially shrinks and ejects its digestive system during migration, so it won't have to stop and eat, and it also makes itself lighter weight in order to cover longer distances.
Wow. Because the sandhills are there tuning up. They're trying to gain weight.
Right.
And one of the scientists I read said they put on about another 20% of their body fat, because now the next stop is someplace in Canada.
Yeah.
And evaluation of that body fat is something that a lot of the biologists do. Even the Bird Conservancy of the Rockies, they'll set up mess nets and catch different birds, and they'll evaluate the amount of body fat that the birds are using for migration. It can tell the health of that bird by the amount of body fat that they can see on their chest as they separate the feathers. They see the body fat that's stored there.
And they're just out in those fields all day, walking and eating. There's not much flying going on.
They're loading up on that waste corn, and they're also eating things like little tiny mammals and vertebrates that they're finding, and just stocking up on that fat so that they have the amount of fuel in the furnace to make it wherever they're going.
And they live 20 to 30 years, and so that would be 20 to 30 migrations. That's...
Yeah, the oldest one that was found, and it was banded in, I think, 2006, and then recaptured in 2019, and it was determined to be 37 years, 3 months old.
Wow.
Living in the wild.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you guys, David, thank you for that phone call that we had. That was really special.
Well, thank you,
Scott, to have you back on. I wish you guys enjoyed your show. I really do. That was a highlight for me, to Wild Birds Unlimited, and Dave and Scott Minow, and I always turn to them. The house is being attacked by woodpeckers, but we've been over it. It's like, get over yourself, Peter. The woodpeckers are here, and they're going to leave. And I can't thank you guys both enough for all the years of really great radio, but just especially how you guys treated me this week, trying to, like, all right, Peter, go, you know, look at this or read that. And it really takes you down pretty. I mean, and it makes you, I think, understand the significance of what nature really perhaps is about. And it's the species moves ahead.
Well, Peter, you've been an inspiration to us for what we would do in radio. And I think we would not have been as comfortable or, somewhat successful with it if it hadn't been for people in Denver like you.
Oh, you're kind. Take care, guys. We'll talk ASAP. Next year, we had to put a bus together.
Absolutely.
and you guys run it.
Yeah, we can ride our motorcycles out there.
Well, I'm riding this morning. I rode to work, so... I had that idea too. Like, we'll ride, but you have to catch them. And there's a window, and the window's closing. I think it's another 9 days to 2 weeks, and they're gone.
Yep.
And they're just
right.
They're gone. You guys.
Yeah. And you can catch them in Socorro, New Mexico during the winter. You can catch them in Monte Vista. Like David said, they have a festival there, but nothing can beat the Nebraska festivals. And you can even see them fly over in Denver during migration, and sometimes hear them as they're flying over.
They talk a lot. They're talking.
They do.
Man.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, you guys. Be safe. Thank you very much, Dave and Scott Minow, you guys. All right. We need to do a quick turnaround. What's going to happen? A book's on the market entitled Radio, What Happened. I finished it last night. If you missed our shoot this week, and I urge you to watch it, the story of this young man from Colorado Public Radio, Vic Vila, and he's going to be back in our studio this morning as well. 303-696-1971. I miss the Bird Guys, too. There's a lot of text messaging how much they miss the Bird Guys on the air. I do as well. David Ellis, Cherry Creek, you've heard me talk about taking valuables to David. Get a fortune in cash and to secure appraisals from David on all the valuables you have tucked away in your home. It's still true. I share those reasons to see David just in case you don't have a Rolex watch, rare coins, or a silver tea set. See David Ellis for all the most meaningful gift-giving occasions. Dave, you know, graduations are coming, weddings are coming, marriage coming. Those are the times to go and look and see David's, see David Ellis's jewelers, and they're just right items for just the right price for special people that really means the most. An antique watch, an emerald pendant, a gold necklace, a diamond ring. These trusted jewelers have been buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. Dazzling cases filled with hundreds of new and used pieces your loved ones will treasure. Visit David Ellis Jewelers and see for yourself. Look for the black awning on the corner of 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek. Explore DavidEllisJewelry.com. 6 days a week, the man is there. David Ellis, 303-322-8779. 303-322-8779. Tell David Ellis Peter Boyle sent you. Morning, everybody. It's a Saturday. I'm Peter Boyle. 67 will be the high. And tomorrow, Sunday, 48 degrees. 37 on Monday. It's the 23rd of March, 2024. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. This, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is Mike Boyle. And people always think we're related. And Mike always says we're not, and I always say we are. And we talked yesterday about a special brunch for special friends. Mikey, it's all yours.
Hey, Peter, first of all, I would like to officially be the first person to sign up for the Bird Guys, Peter Boyle, Sam Crane, Kearney bus.
Hey, I just found out Steve's on the other line. Let me bring him on. Hey, Steve, of course, has been good to Mike and I forever. He's the owner of all of the Black Eyed Peas, he and his wife, Steve and Michelle. Hey, Steve, good morning. And joining Mike and myself on the air, thank you very much. Steve, do we got you? Do we lose him? Is he still there? Steve, can you hear? Anyhow, Mikey, so between now and trying to find Steve, have you ever gone to see the Cranes in Kearney?
You want to know something? It's been one of those, yeah, I'm going to get to it, yeah, I'm going to get to it, and I never have. And I will tell you something, driving to my show on our Salem station in Colorado Springs, I listened to the entire half-hour interview with the Bird Guys, and it was absolutely fascinating. I'll tell you this. I was in the Amazon jungle, and there's a cliff there where every day at 10 o'clock, thousands of birds come and just start eating this dirt, and nobody knows why. Nobody can explain it, but it happens at the same – I want the bird show back.
I do, too. I love the bird show. I think we have Steve now. Steve, we got you on the show?
I am. Yeah, I kept hearing you guys, but no one could hear me.
That's,
how you doing,
you know, Mike? That's the story of Mike's life.
I must be a whisperer.
Yes. Of course, Steve and his lovely wife, Michelle, own the Black Eyed Peas. Michael, you talk about this Sunday.
Well, tomorrow, you know what? The Castle Rock Black Eyed Pea has been doing breakfast for a long time on Saturdays and Sundays. It's tremendously well received. It's a great breakfast. And I've been badgering Steve Shaw for years. When can I do a Sunday show? Mike, it's always so busy. Mike, we're crowded. We've got a great crowd. You're on from 10 to noon. I said, Steve, how about if we do a buffet from 9 to 11? And I'll come at 9, greet, seat. At 10 o'clock, I'll go on the air. People can come and enjoy, because, of course, the Black Eyed Pea has a magnificent catering operation. So they're going to set up a buffet tomorrow. And from 7 to 9, the buffet is going to be 710, as in 710 KNUS. And I'll tell you what, Peter, why don't you jump on that hog and come on out tomorrow? We'd love to see you.
Because it's a lousy day to ride. I'll say, we've already...
Jump in the truck.
Yeah.
Jump in your truck and come on down.
Steve and I have already made plans for biker brunches when the weather cracks, but I got my bike outside now. It's 67 for a high today. Tomorrow, only 48 in rain. And I'm an old guy, man. It's like, stay out.
Yeah, but the buffet is going to be inside. So however you get there, it'll work out just fine.
Give directions. The best way, Steve or Mike, directions to get to the buffet.
I-25, north or south, get off at exit 184. That's the Castle Rock Factory Outlets. Guys, if you don't know where that is, ask your wife. And you get off at 184, you head towards the factory outlets, and the Black Eyed Pea is right there, a ton of free parking. Steve, why don't you go over a little bit of the items that are going to be on the buffet?
Well, typical breakfast, going to have scrambled eggs, French toast, waffles, bacon, sausage, hash browns, and of course, we'll have
biscuits and gravy. Absolutely.
Gravy. Yep.
It is good, Mikey. I'm sorry.
No, it's just going to, you know what? One of the things, Peter, you and I have talked about for 100 years, you want to wake up and think of something to really come and grab you. And I just thought, you know, this will grab people. We're going to have a heck of a turnout tomorrow. And just because it's a little different and people are looking every day, consciously or subconsciously, for a little bit of different something to do.
Number one, but number two, the food's great. I've been to breakfast in Steve's place. I may see you boys tomorrow. Steve, you going to trust him to be in there by himself, or are you going to show up?
Oh, no, I will be there.
Oh, good. I may see you guys tomorrow. I mean, that's a great idea. That's a very good idea.
Well, we'd love it. Yeah. All the information is on my website at mikeboyle.com if people are driving around and can't write this down. But we'd love to see him 9 to 11 tomorrow.
Steve, anything else you'd like to add?
No, it's going to be a fun day, and yeah. I don't know if everybody knows it, but tomorrow is Mike's birthday.
Mikey, how many? How many?
Peter, I'm older than Casa Bonita, but I'm younger than you, brother.
Everybody. Everybody's younger than me. Hey, Steve, we're going to do biker brunches when the weather breaks, and Michael, you're a good friend, brother, and thank you for coming on the show, both of you guys. Probably see you tomorrow.
All right. Love you, Peter.
Thank you. Safe, guys. All right. We come back right after this. Saturday morning, everyone, March 23rd, 2024. Peter Boyle's on the air everywhere. 710 KNUS, 67 the high, and then 48 on Sunday, Monday, 37 degrees. Coming up on the show, a new book on the market, On Air Radio, What Happened? 100 Years of Changes. And I finished it last night. And also, we'll be in studio here in a little bit, Vic Bella, and he was on the shoot with us about what happened to him at Colorado Public Radio. In the meantime, my favorite person is my daughter, and I've watched so much health come back to her because of Dr. Jeff is with us, and of course, it's HBOT Spas and the hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Doctor, first of all, good morning, thank you, and welcome back.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well. Shanner, thanks, honey. I want to begin. I was talking to my daughter yesterday. We were sitting on the couch talking, and I was reading, and I said, you know, you look great. I asked her, I said, do you think it was the oxygen therapy? And she said, yeah. Shanner, talk to that.
Good morning, Dad. Yes, I very enthusiastically said, absolutely, it's all from Dr. Jeff and being able to spend almost 70 hours in the hyperbaric chamber. I just can't speak enough about what it's done for me, from my energy levels to my healing, almost taking time off of my face and my body. I just feel like the clock has been rewound, and I'm so thankful because I didn't think I could get this back.
It is amazing, Doctor. I mean, everybody that we know that's been in there, and once again, because it's the way that it sounds, talk about how it works.
Yeah, so you essentially get to kick back and relax in an oversized tube that allows you to if you're even as tall as I am at 6'3", I can still sit up in there without my head touching. But yeah, that chamber is pressurized to an increased atmospheric pressure that causes a greater absorption of oxygen in the body. And then respiratorily, you're ingesting enriched concentrated oxygen through a cannula, which improves how blood flows through the lungs and picks up oxygen. And the overall impact is a better deliverance of oxygen to every cell in your body, which has a lot of benefits for you, from everything from anti-aging to anti-inflammation to just wound healing. It's great for diabetics. Yeah. It's great for post-COVID. The list goes on and on.
It is amazing. And as I said, when we first went, my daughter got right into the chamber, and I'm claustrophobic, and I think there's plenty of people listening. I like to try it, but I'm claustrophobic. As the doctor just said, when these things blow up, there's a lot of room in there. And I am a claustrophobic person, and I don't have a problem in the world. The doctor standing by the phone, 303-353-9623. It's 303-353-9623. They're in Cherry Creek, yep. North. Doctor, you wanted to add into that?
Yeah, I'm going to be taking calls for our listeners today to help personalize treatment expectations, talk to you about your cases. So feel free to give us a call. I'll be available for about the next hour and a half, as I'm here to help you get on the books. And we're running our promotion right now. For $200, you can come in up to 10 times in the first 2 weeks. And if you decide to purchase a treatment plan as a result of that first 2 weeks, those $200 will go towards the price of your treatment plan. So come see us, give us a call. I'll be here to answer any questions you guys have.
Well, your phone just faded. Shannon, add on to that one more time. The number...
Just that your health is just the most important asset, and I can't encourage enough folks to just look into this. If you're having a hard time healing or getting over an illness like I had, this will change your life, and I am grateful.
Thank you both. Well, I'll see you in a little bit, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, the number 303-353-9623. The doctor is there, 303-353-9623. Call him. I mean, it is amazing. I've got 60 hours now in HBOT spas, and I really, truly, I mean, it's a huge difference. In our studio coming up, and we have our show called The Shoot, and you can go to, it's a YouTube show, or of course, it's an in-house television show, thanks to Mark Crowley and Kelly Michaels. And I read about this young man and what happened to him, and here are the headlines. Colorado public radio host alleges he was fired and mocked for his addiction and mental health history. Vic Villa files state and federal charges of discrimination, and CPR, Colorado Public Radio, denies. And it's getting a lot of attention. We did a shoot, and it's gotten a lot of hits since we did it on Thursday. Again, if you want to see it, 710knus.com, click on shows, click on me, and it'll roll down. The new column is out, and also The Shoot with Vic. And then after that, and we'll see, we're scheduled for 2 hours. The new book is out, Radio, What Happened, 100 Years of Changes, Terry Bettis and Jim Christofferson. And a lot of it, it's a history of the business and the inside look of the business, and it really holds up. How are we doing on time? We're good? Okay. 303-696-1971. Has anyone, I'm sure there's hundreds of folks, gone to see the Cranes? And it was sort of spur of the moment. And like so many people, I've read about the Sandhill Cranes migrating, principally the epicenter's Kearney, Nebraska. And so we went. And it transforms. When you first go to look, and you're driving down a lot of country roads because there's a lot of farms, and you don't see them because they're brown, and the earth has been, you know, it's, and then suddenly somebody said, there's one. And as soon as you can see the one, you can see the hundred, You see the hundred, you see the thousands, and they are there. And there's I think it's something for it's a tourist attraction, and the folks in Kearney protect it. They're very, very well protected. And the feds are there, and it's the Kearney, Nebraska. It's I-80, and it's right along the Platte. And I have done—I shouldn't say done nothing because I finished this radio book, but I've done nothing but read about migrations and about these birds in particular. And the sandhills, they migrate from southern wintering grounds to northern breeding grounds, I guess is the best way to say it. In Canada, Alaska, and believe it or not, Siberia. And they stop along the Platte River to rest and to gain body fat as they prepare for this journey north. And for 8 weeks, beginning from late February until early April, they come. And they come in waves. And the sandhill crane spring migration happens in the heart of Nebraska. And more than 80% of the world, that's unbelievable, 80% of the world's sandhill crane population convenes on the Platte River in Kearney, Nebraska. It spreads out. And there's other wildlife, of course. Whooping cranes and eagles and ducks and geese and shorebirds migrate through central Nebraska, but from sunrise and sunset are the times that you want to see them on the river. And during the day, the cranes are in the fields eating. And like I said, we're driving, and I don't know roads in Nebraska. I don't know roads in Denver, but we're on these country roads, and there. And then you see one, and boom, you see another one, you see another one, and you're taken down by it. And they take flight, and you know they're going north, and they've been, so I come back, okay, I need to know more. And I started to read. And there are some, the bottom line are the thinnest number is 2.5 million, and the other number is as high as 10 million. Years these guys have been doing this, and the power of it. And for even if you take the minimum of 2.5 million years ago, before the time of certainly Homo sapien, but certainly before Neanderthal, maybe around the time of Neanderthal, but go back to Cro-Magnon, and you know, these birds are flying. And one of the folks that I read said they are the closest things to dinosaurs. That they're still out there and they're rocking in the free world. But the Crane Watch, Kearney, Nebraska, thank you. It was really a hell of an experience. And next year we'll get a bus. So coming up in studio, Vic will be with us, and then this new book on radio. So it's going to be one of those days. My motorcycle's outside. 67 will be the high. Sunday, tomorrow, rain comes in at 48. The brunch is at the Black Eyed Pea. Monday, it's all back at us, 37 degrees, and Tuesday, 45 and 57 on Wednesday, so it is cold. I really, really like this guy coming up. And the shoot is there, 710knus.com. Click on shows. Click on me. You see the new shoot that's up thanks to Mark Crowley. Vic Vella, who is filed. And listen, I want you to hear this. And it's a great lead-in because we're going to talk about radio, but it's a great lead-in to the book as well entitled Radio, What Happened? You ready? All right, let's pull the pin. We'll come back. Fix with us. This is 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.